Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, John. Thanks to
good morning
for Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. It's Thursday, January 29th, and it's cold as hell. Although it doesn't make any sense,
but you got to tell people just how cold it is. Ted and I were talking about this just a few minutes ago before it, and I'm embarrassed to say I was bitching that it's 15 degrees in Washington.
Ted, 10 below zero right now where I am.
Temperature, not wind chill.
No, the wind, yeah, it's actually, because of the sun, feels like -3. So, no complaining. It's pretty crazy. If you're feeling the pain, you have lots of company, and you have our sympathy. Please like, follow, and share the show. Thank you for your continued support. It's extremely gratifying. We have a lot to talk about today. We go into today's show, we're going to be talking about Iran's the main topic, and Trump's increasing threats, which appear to be, I would say, a credible threat. If I were the Iranian government, I'd be deeply concerned. There's a looming partial government shutdown of DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, coming up this Saturday. We'll see if that happens or not. January 31st is the deadline. Chuck Schumer and Donald Trump are trying to avoid that. Lots of news out of Minnesota. So I'll get to that in a second. The interesting climate change ruling regarding a tiny Caribbean island and the Netherlands, the island of Bonaire. Only 26,000 people live there, but it has big implications. Also, another big story that's kind of shocking. The FBI raided the voting office in Fulton County, Georgia. You'll remember, of course, the whole Fannie Willis mess down there. The FBI has never ever seized Americans' voter records in U.S. history before.
Never.
So what exactly is going on there? John, just before we went on the air, news is breaking from Minnesota that Daily Mail, how reliable that is reporting that Tom Homan has given marching orders for ICE in Minneapolis and Minnesota. No more sweeps. From now on, only targeted deportations of people with actual criminal records. So not parking tickets, but bad people, bad hombres. And so that should change things hombres there in a big way. And at the same time, Amy Klobuchar, current senator, is looking to replace Tim Walz as the outgoing governor. I couldn't imagine a worse time to possibly be running for that office, but for her, of all people, I don't know how the people of Minnesota feel about her. Also, Alex Priddy, the latest victim of ICE, there's video that emerges that appears to show him confronting, basically mixing it up and kicking a car and getting roughed up a little bit by ICE 11 days before he died. So lots to talk about. And of course, awesome. As always, please send us your questions if you're watching live in the 9 a.m. hour on Rumble and YouTube, and we will get to your questions, as you know, as quickly as possible. If you're new to the show, this is a fast-moving show. We try to keep things moving very quickly and judiciously, as our president would say. So thank you for trying to keep up, and we apologize in advance if we miss something, but we try to get to everything. John, what should we do? Questions? Should we talk about Iran? What do you want to do?
Yeah, you and I were on Iranian television yesterday. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. I've been on press TV in the past.
No, you and I are regulars on Iranian television.
Really?
And yeah, we are. And
where's my Rials?
I know, right? Or Toman. I've never understood the connection between the two. Anyway. the reason why we were on is because we're talking about these issues and that we have made a couple of conclusions. Number one, they're repeating what we've said about naval movements. I think that's very important. Number two, they're repeating what we've said about how so few policymakers understand the history of the Middle East and understand the culture of the Middle East.
True.
Number three, they are connecting us, and I'm proud to say this, they're connecting us with John Mearsheimer and what he has said about how we're Americans. We want what's best for America, which may or may not be what's best for Israel.
And in this right. case, often is not.
Often is not. Mm-hmm. In this case, the Iranians are no threat to us.
No.
The Iranians have never been a threat to us.
No. We've been a threat to them.
We've been a threat to them. Now, maybe the Iranians are a threat to Israel. I think they're not.
I don't think so either.
But even if the Israelis believe that they are, that's not our problem.
Nope.
And so I'm for America first, baby.
Me too. I mean, look, I hate the fact that nationalism, patriotism, America first, whatever you want to call it, that's considered a right-wing thing. I mean, it's like if we live in a nation state system, it's logical to look out for the interests of your country and its people before those of other countries. And then it's expected that they'll do the same. That's how this is supposed to work.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, another thing, too, we've got friends in the Middle East whom we don't normally talk about. Well, you and I have, but I mean, the mainstream media, they don't talk about. For example, the Omanis. I love the Omanis. The Omanis have been friends of ours for generations. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who the sultan is. The Omanis are friends of ours.
And they're never fucking with their neighbors.
Never. They're extraordinarily peaceful people. They're thoughtful. I like the Omanis very much. Well, the Omanis are also close to the Iranians. And many, many times over the years, the Omanis have acted as the go-between between the United States and Iran. I think we should approach the Omanis again, just like we should approach the Algerians. It was the Algerians, of all people, who got our hostages out in 1981. The Algerians.
That's a forgotten... I always thought it was Ben Affleck.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, he just escaped on his own. But, you know, we should engage rather than just, you know, send a carrier battle group off the coast of southern Iran and then just, you know, make threats. We should be engaging in diplomacy, even if that diplomacy is not public. Right. What's Wyckoff supposed to do? He's the troubleshooter. Let the man do his job. And when I say do his job, I don't mean and then run back to Jerusalem every couple of days to report back.
I have little doubt that if, an American administration reached out to Iran, we could settle our outstanding issues and end up with diplomatic relations and trade relations.
I totally agree, Ted.
We should. And temperamentally, Americans and Iranians are so much more similar than Americans would bet. We're so similar.
I couldn't agree more.
Like we're buds. We're like, you know, it's kind of like a natural, you know, it's sort of like when you meet someone for the first time, you're just like, I just get along with this person.
I've never met an Iranian that I didn't like.
I mean Iranians. That
with complete sincerity.
Yeah. The only thing that would ever stretch it are sort of the, some of the, you know, Persian exiles in the LA area.
That's a different breed. Yeah. Those are the ones those are the ones that stole as much as they could as they were bugging out of Iran in 79. And
yeah, with the gym bag laden with gold ingots.
Gold and cash and jewels. Yeah.
Yeah, they're so funny about it. They should be happy to be alive. And instead, they're like still whinging all these years later.
I think the mayor of Beverly Hills is Persian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different breed. But
I'm going to look. I think that's the case.
So Trump is threatening an attack with speed and violence. That's the quote that he said. And he and the Europeans are basically on the same side. John, let's go, if you're okay with this, let's go through, because you and I talked about this with Robbie after the show yesterday offline, about the three principal demands that are on the table. Interestingly, Trump seems to have completely forgotten about the poor, sad demonstrators. He said that, you know, he wanted to defend in Iran. Now he says he and the Europeans are asking for three things. Number one, no more uranium enrichment. Get rid of all current stockpiles of uranium. I don't know who gets them. Maybe we do. A limit on the range and number of ballistic missiles. In other words, not like nuclear missiles, though they don't have those, but just long range. They have medium range missiles. They don't have long range ICBMs.
Right. No. They don't have long range.
And an end to, and no more support for groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis in Yemen. That's basic. That's it. Now, John, you were pointing out, so you should say this. Who came up with that list for the U.S.?
I can tell you exactly who came up with that list, and his name is Benjamin Netanyahu. That is quite literally, word for word, the Israeli list of demands for the Iranians. Now, like magic, all of a sudden, it's the American list of demands. To the letter.
That's sick.
This isn't a foreign policy. We're conceding our foreign policy. I want what's best for America.
It's corrupt. I mean, this reminds me of like how in, you know, domestically we have, you know, interest groups and lobbyists who will literally submit the text of a proposed bill to a congressman who literally cuts and pastes it and submits it as legislation.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's corrupt. I mean, you know, there's not even a pretense of decency here. In this case, I mean, look, I got to say, if I were negotiating with Iran, I wouldn't. First of all, the missiles would be off the table.
You got to protect yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real country. And, you know, also don't ask for things that your adversary can't possibly agree to. Mm-hmm. And as for the proxy groups, it's completely unenforceable. Not to mention, is the U.S. going to stop, you know, backing its proxies in the region? You know, I think they could have a conversation about uranium, but I mean, even so, I mean, the enrichment controversy, it was caused by the Trump administration when it threw away the agreement that was signed under
JCPOA,
Obama,
which was working.
Right.
It was exactly the same
old arrangement.
That's right. It was exactly the same inspection regime that the United Nations imposed on Iraq, you know, between 1991 and 2003. It was working.
Now, the other thing I can't stand, and of course, you're never going to get this out of American media, and we always talk about this here, but I'm going to keep talking about it. Iran never lost a war. They didn't do anything wrong. They're not being sanctioned because they fucked up somehow. They literally, you know, they agreed to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty after the revolution to maintain it after they took over. They didn't have to. They could have said, we just had a revolution. We overthrew the old government. Old treaties are bye-bye, just like Trump does without a revolution. You know, they could have just, they're doing this voluntarily to be. So, a country that clearly doesn't want to become an international nuclear power is being like, you better not become a international nuclear power. They're like, that's what we said.
If the Iranians wanted to be
an open door.
Yeah. If the Iranians wanted to be a nuclear power, they would have been a nuclear power years ago.
It's not that hard.
And the CIA has repeatedly concluded that the Iranians are not seeking a nuclear weapon.
There's no evidence at all. So, and in like nuclear power, honestly, in the age of climate change, we have a climate change story out of Holland. Yep. You know, it's nuclear power is weirdly, I say this for, you know, people like our age, when we remember the no nukes movement and Three Mile Island. But now that's a relatively clean form of power.
Yeah, it is. Crazy as that sound. I even had a no nukes shirt. It was a black t-shirt and in white lettering, it said no nukes on it. And I almost got into a fist fight in a bar. I was 18. We crossed the state line into Campbell, Ohio to go drinking at RJ's Holiday House, Nickel Beer Night, Tuesday nights.
Oh, wow.
Nickel Beer Night tells you how long
ago it was. I bet it was so yummy too.
Oh my God. So much fun. 1981. And I got into a shoving match and a couple of friends of mine jumped in and decked this guy. Because he was pro nuke and he just objected to my t-shirt.
It was so political then.
It really was a big deal.
Yeah. I still have my old no nukes buttons lying around somewhere.
Remember the No Nukes concert in Central Park?
Yes.
1980.
I mean, the terrible graphic for that is still seared onto my brain. I would say that if there is a countdown to midnight clock, it's just moved closer to midnight here. Who's going to attack Iran? Will it be the U.S. or will it be Israel?
I think it'll be both of us together. I really do.
Holding our pinky fingers together.
And I'll tell you, Ted, it frightens me that we want to throw our lot in with Benjamin Netanyahu like this. I think it weakens us as a country.
Well, no, I mean, of course. I mean, look, the thing is, it's a disastrous policy. I mean, you know, rule number one of political engagement is never start a battle you can't win. We can't win this.
No.
What do they think is going to happen? You're going to overthrow the government of Iran? You couldn't overthrow the government of Venezuela. And now you're trying to overthrow the government of Iran.
And we're talking about a country of 92 million people, and it is
modern,
enormous. Country. Yes.
Very educated people.
Yeah. Very educated.
This is not Afghanistan in the 90s.
That's right.
They think Americans
and we
think
couldn't
it
even
is.
Overthrow
they don't
them.
Know.
No, you're right.
Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, part of the problem here is the ignorance. I mean, so they go in together. I mean, obviously, I think this is going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's just going to be the usual, we attacked military targets. Maybe they take out a government ministry or two in Tehran. But nothing much is going to change except resentment. It's about keeping the Israelis happy. It does nothing for us at all. And by the way, if we care about getting energy prices, let's make a deal with the Iranians.
Yeah, you can say that.
They have tons of oil.
Yeah, they do. They have tons
of oil. High quality. We should normalize those relations. And it's in a good location there too. It's really annoying. How dangerous is this? I mean, how could this escalate? I mean, the Iranians did sort of like fire a shot across the bow during the Gaza conflict when they fired a bunch of drones at Israel.
Yeah, but that was in response to an Israeli attack.
That's right. That's right. So in other words, in response to a US/Israeli attack, domestically, the Iranians can't keep taking it on the nose. They've got to respond.
My guess is, based on what I saw in my agency days, my guess is that the Iranians will do two things. Well, maybe three things. I think in the event of an Israeli attack, they'll respond to Israel, whether it's with rockets or with drones. That's fine. Everybody would expect that. But the Iranians have said, and we should take them at their word, that they will attack American interests in the region, which is military bases. Mm-hmm. And they have their pick. There are like 44 of them that are in the immediate vicinity. Remember that joke, why the Iranians put their country right in the middle of our military bases. Exactly. Number three. Number three, and I think they'll cut this when they run this clip on the Iranian news tonight. The Iranians will carry out acts of terrorism against American interests. Whether it's, you know, American oil workers or American businesses or whatever it happens to be. If I were an American, a private American, you know, working in Pakistan or working in, you know, whatever country, I would be worried for my safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I don't want to say I don't blame them. But it's not surprising.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
Okay. Shall we do some questions and then we'll
To start off by saying thank you to Sodan.
Oh,
Thank you for, what was it, 50 euros or let me look.
Yeah,
$49.99. Thank you. Thank you, Solon. Thank you.
Yes, and let's get to Sodan's question. For $49.99, you get your question answered. Good morning. Do we think President Xi's purge of the People's Liberation Army generals is out of strength or desperation? And what should be the next U.S. move with relations to China?
I think it's out of strength. You see, there's been no fallout whatsoever. You're not hearing any complaints from other generals. You're not hearing complaints from Chinese dissidents. You're not hearing complaints from anybody. So I think it's out of a position of strength. And honestly, I think that the United States should be in constant, unending economic negotiations with China.
Oh, I
just as a
more.
Standing policy, we should be constantly negotiating with the Chinese.
We should be on. We should have a close ally of the president on the phone with them every day.
That's right. I don't even know who our ambassador in China is right now, but our ambassador to China should be like one of the president's closest friends.
Agreed.
So that person has direct.
They should almost be cabinet level.
Exactly.
You know, de facto. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, look, I want China to be our partner.
I do too.
You know, and I think China would prefer it that way. They just know that we don't want to.
And let me add one other thing. There's an ongoing problem in China with official corruption. And I suspect that corruption probably played a role in this firing. You know, it's one thing to fire a general because maybe you fear that he's becoming too popular, too important, too powerful, and you push him off to the side. That's not the case here.
No, President Xi is not worried about that.
No,
he's not Truman, and that's not MacArthur.
Exactly.
Thanks for the 10 euros from Cookie Rampage. I love that name.
Thank you.
I've been known to go on a cookie rampage. let's see. Thanks for the 31 Australian dollars, Ms. April.
Thank you.
Our thoughts on, again, this is the same question. How might the instability impact on China's ability to support Iran if the conflict turns hot? I don't imagine that China would militarily support Iran.
No.
I mean, it would just be.
Nor would Russia.
It's too spicy for you know, China's appetite.
Plus, over the longer term, I think the Chinese and the Russians are perfectly happy to see the United States bogged down in this constant conflict in the Middle East, because over the long term, it weakens us.
It's true.
It strengthens them.
No, that's totally true. This is like stay out of it. It's classic. So, all right, let's do some of these other questions here. Funho B Music. Love the show. Hi, guys. John, if you were Polish, wouldn't you support Poland being in NATO, helping to collapse communism? Can I get a signed copy of your book saying that you invented cheese whiz?
Yeah, sure. That's fun. I would do that. Send me an email. Yeah, of course, if I were Polish, I would want Poland to be not just in NATO, but in the European Union and solidly in the Western camp, of course. Of course I would. But if I were Ukrainian, I would say that the you know, God-given geography of the country is different from that of Poland. And there are
Poland's geography used to be different, right? I mean,
Poland was
a classic, obviously, invasion route, buffer state, in between two blocks. Not so much anymore because of NATO's encroachment. But Ukraine is. It's in Russia's sphere of influence. I mean, Russia now owns 20% of it. You know, I mean.
Exactly.
Okay.
Have you ever been to that little, what's it called? The little Russian enclave. What's the name of it?
Oh, there's the Transnistria.
No.
And there's.
Farther north. Up in Poland.
Nagorno-Karabakh. And then there's.
No. In Poland.
Oh, no, I have not been there.
I've not been there either. Kind of would like to just to say I've been in Russia, even though
I like strange little enclave places. They're weird.
Kaliningrad. Thank you, Robbie.
That's it.
Thank you, Robbie. East Prussia.
DP. Hey guys, love the show. Keep up the good work. Any chance that Michelle may come back?
I would welcome Michelle.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Michelle.
No,
You know,
she sent me an email. I'm going to say 3 or 4 weeks ago. But that was the last I heard.
She likes me on Facebook sometimes, but you know, we could talk about it. You
know? Sure, sure.
It's like you know, it's like she's not frozen out. We like her.
No. We're all friends. Yeah, absolutely.
So you know, whatever. You know, I don't even know what she's up to. That actually reminds me, I should shoot her.
Yeah, you know, I should. I'm glad for that reminder. I'll give her a ring today and see how she's doing.
Cool. Say hi for me.
I will.
HP, what's John's schedule with all of these podcasts? How does he do so many?
Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Because I'm an idiot. I'm going to show you what my schedule is like tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? No, here. No, this is just as an example. This is Wednesday.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. It's every single hour.
Every single hour. Yeah. That's wow. Just Wednesday. And that's a normal day. Monday's the same way. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Drink
five,
lots of
six,
honey
seven.
And tea.
And keep then that, tomorrow, keep... it looks like it's slightly shorter, but it's not because I have a documentary to shoot from 2 to 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's okay. Ruby Dog, thoughts on U.S. World Cup boycott talk happening across Europe? Think we'll see any major teams avoid U.S. tournaments if the violence continues?
Yeah. I don't think it'll be based on the violence. I think it'll be based on harassment by Customs and Immigration and ICE and all these other organizations. Let me add something, too. Yeah. I spoke with Stefania Morizzi last night. She's the Italian journalist who was a member of WikiLeaks and who broke a lot of the WikiLeaks, the early WikiLeaks stories. She told me last night that she's the one who broke this story. She sent me the original article. She's the one who broke the story that ICE is very quietly going to the Winter Olympics. Now, why? Why would ICE be at the Winter Olympics?
Well, so apparently, John, what I've read here is that it's not the first time that's happened.
Really?
Historically, they have basically I guess it's an overtime opportunity, right? Like, basically,
that
it's an
all-hands
kind of thing. We need lots of security for the U.S. team. So come on over. So I don't think it's new. I don't think it's like a Trumpy thing. I think it happened before. But now, of course, ICE is on
newsworthy.
The global shit list. So
one of the things that one of the reasons why she called me last night was that she had discovered that you've heard of HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. Mm-hmm. There's even a TV show on like the National Geographic Channel, whatever. Where they follow Homeland Security Investigations. Like if somebody mails drugs to your house because you're a moron and you just have it sent to your house, they'll intercept the drugs and then they'll bust you, break down the door of your house. Okay.
I thought that was the postal police.
It used to be.
Okay.
Now they turn it over to Homeland Security Investigations. But what she has just discovered is that there is a Homeland Security Investigations inside ICE. That nobody's ever known before. It's this like quick action, bust down the door, grab everybody inside kind of organization. But with what authority? I don't know. And now we've got this news from day before yesterday that they tried to get into the Ecuadorian consulate in Minneapolis. I just told somebody this morning who emailed me, that is akin to an attempted invasion, right? That is sovereign territory. You cannot enter somebody else's embassy or consulate. That's a violation of their sovereign territory. It's an act of war.
It's very serious.
And we
just
tried to bust right into the Ecuadorian embassy and grab people who had taken refuge there.
So, John, one thing that concerns me is you and I both know that, like, now that the heat is on and the poll numbers are bad, the Trump administration is obviously going to tamp down the ICE's worst behavior in the coming weeks, perhaps months. But basically, they're just going to wait till the heat's off until they can start up again. Meanwhile, Schumer, always the master negotiator, sarcasm intended, is negotiating with Trump to avoid, because so many Democrats and enough Republicans are willing to vote against funding DHS this week, that there could be a partial government shutdown for things like TSA and stuff like that. I guess the thing is, the Democrats are looking for some reforms like no more masking. They have to identify themselves and stuff like that. I'm worried that, as usual, the Democrats are going to settle for very little window dressing.
Yeah.
But the fundamentals of ICE as this massive, militarized, untrained, unqualified, mean fucking force that's militarizing American cities is not going to change. We're going to be right back talking about this in 2 months.
Yes, I think so. There's no solution being offered up here. It's just sort of, hit and run grab and snatch and whatever. And I'm worried about it over the long term.
Is the threat of a DHS shutdown really so bad? I mean, I guess there could be lines at the airport.
No. You know what? DHS said yesterday, well, it actually may have been the White House that said it, that that even if the government shuts down, they're just going to treat this like a normal shutdown where everybody just continues to work. Mm-hmm. And then you get the back pay when it's all settled.
So it wouldn't really affect people. Symbolic. Not to mention it's not really a heavy travel season.
No, and the Democrats are all talk anyway. Talk, talk, talk. They're not going to do anything. Schumer's a weakling and a coward. He's not going to change anything. You know, don't get me started on Schumer. I think he's corrupt, too, on top of it. And I mean that quite literally.
I agree with that quite literally
as well. I had two contacts of mine, two people whom I respect, told me independently of one another in 1 week that they had been in the room when Schumer took a bribe. They actually saw him take a bribe.
And these are credible sources to you?
Yeah, serious people.
That's very serious.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Well, that's like Tom Homan, by the way. He in a sting operation, he accepted $50,000 in cash.
And was allowed to keep it.
And his job. Meanwhile, you go to prison.
Yeah.
All right. Flandarina, Israel and Gaza, what are the chances now that the last hostage, of course dead, has been returned, that aid will be allowed to flow freely into Gaza as per the ceasefire agreement? Especially considering what actually appears to be happening on the ground, preparations for small controlled internment camps.
Nope.
Very little. I mean,
no, yeah, almost zero chance. The Israelis want to force every Palestinian out of Gaza. That's the policy.
That's definitely the policy. Nick Orlando, from your intelligence perspective, John, what's more dangerous right now in regard to Iran and the U.S.? Miscalculation or intentional escalation?
I think it's intentional at this point. I've said a million times, the Democrats always underestimate Donald Trump. They underestimate his resolve. If he makes a decision to attack Iran, that's it. We're going to attack Iran. It's not going to be an issue of miscalculation. It's going to be a conscious policy to overthrow the Iranian government.
Which is, I don't even know where they would begin, right? They don't even have an Ahmed Chalabi.
No, exactly. Not this clown, Reza Pahlavi.
Right. No, that's ridiculous. Not going to happen. No. By the way, I was watching an old episode of The Sopranos, and one of the characters had this hilarious line about
Phil Leotardo.
It's like, oh, and this guy, this asshole said I looked like the Shah of Iran.
Yeah.
And of course he looks.
He like did. He looked just like him.
It's hilarious. Question for you, John. Thanks for the dollar from TSTC. John, do you know or have any thoughts about Larry C. Johnson, analyst for the CIA?
Oh sure. Larry's a friend of mine. He's a serious person. He's far more conservative than I am, but he's a very serious analyst. His Substack is quite good. He's been on all my shows, The Whistleblowers a couple of times. He's been on Deep Focus. Larry's a good guy, and he gives these issues a great deal of thought.
John, a question for you. High school debate coach, over the years, news has become increasingly partisan. What sources of information do you find most trustworthy? My debaters struggle wading through bias in sources. Must be true, especially if you're younger. I mean, you grew up, if you grew up in this world and you're like 16, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, at least you and I remember legacy media and standards.
I hadn't considered that. But that's a very important point he's making there. You and I have talked about what our sources of information are, and they're from the right to the left and everything in between. That's really the best way. I will say that I spend a lot of time with the Associated Press, just because – you know, in every ranking that you see, every grid that you see, they're in the center of the center.
Mm-hmm.
That's always kind of my anchor is AP, APnews.com.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Let's see. Robbie, I'm going to bring you in to do, you suggested that we talk to people a little bit about Rumble. And then if we have an ad, we can do that later. But
Yeah. Nope. Sounds good. Yeah. Howdy, y'all. So right now our numbers are off the charts. Have over 700 people watching on YouTube live right now. Thank you very much.
Hey, fantastic. Guys. Thank you.
And before anyone talks to me about the white t-shirt, yes, I'm wearing it. And if I don't dress fancy for my wife, I ain't going to dress fancy for you either. So, now about Rumble, there are a couple of questions in the chat about where can people go to watch us if YouTube ever does something with the channel. The question is Rumble. Rumble is the free speech alternative to YouTube. Rumble also pays significantly better than YouTube. YouTube pays based off the ads that come up. Rumble pays based off of watch hours, kind of like the way that normal TV does. And so if y'all come over, watch our content here, John and Ted get a bigger paycheck. Also, just be honest, Rumble does not censor what they can say. Also, lastly, whenever people do donations or become channel subscribers, YouTube takes a pretty sizable chunk of that. Rumble, the creators keep 100% of all your channels of all of the channel subscriptions. It's only $5 a month here on Rumble. And lastly, you can see content that John and Ted do exclusively on Rumble, and it's just a great way just to keep on seeing them, support the show. And also, if like 30 of y'all would come over, we could take out a big Republican channel. So I'd love to see that happen.
Do we have an ad?
We do. I can go ahead and pop that up for you now.
Ed, please, and do that. Thank you very much, Robbie. Okay, back to laundry day over in the West household. do we think that with the Hamza, do we think that Iran, with the panic of the war, is seeking nuclear weapons now? If they're not, they should be.
I've said, just like you have, Ted, that if I were Iranian, I would.
I don't think they are, all the time, to be honest, but yeah, they should be.
I think they should be. We hear all the time how the Israelis see the Iranians as an existential threat. Well, guess what? Iran sees Israel as an existential threat. So if I were the leader of Iran, I would absolutely be seeking nuclear weapons. You got to protect your country.
Ad time. There's a reason you don't hear much. Sorry. There's a reason you don't hear much about molecular hydrogen in mainstream health. It isn't a drug. It isn't patented, and there's not much money to be made selling better water. Molecular hydrogen is created by running a small electric current through water, producing a form that dissolves into the water and can be absorbed by the body. It's been studied for reducing oxidative stress and inflammation, two of the biggest drivers of chronic pain, joint stiffness, and slow recovery. A lot of that research is tracked by the Molecular Hydrogen Institute out of Utah, and the technology has been used quietly in clinics and by professional athletes for years, especially around injury and physical wear and tear. The LifeWater hydrogen bottle makes it accessible. You add tap water, press a button, and in about 3 minutes, the water visibly changes. It's not a stimulant, and it doesn't mask symptoms. The goal is supporting the body's own recovery process. LifeWater publishes third-party lab tests, which matters with this kind of technology. Right now, it's about $80 with a 50% promo, backed by a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you have a loved one dealing with pain, inflammation, or recovery issues, this is a gift that actually makes sense. To learn more, go to buylifewater.com or scan the QR code on screen. Okay. Very well. Okay. Sorry. Question for John from Frasmataz. I guess if Patrick Bet David a couple years ago, former head of Mossad, Chabtai Shavit, said that the Shah begged the Mossad to kill Khomeini in Paris, they refused any comment.
I'm sure that's true. I remember at the CIA people having conversations about why Khomeini wasn't taken out in Paris. Yeah. And remember, the Israelis and the Iranians under the Shah had diplomatic relations.
The revolution, yeah.
Yes. They had diplomatic relations.
What is the risk to the U.S. homeland if we have a full-out war with Iran? Cyber attacks, asymmetric warfare?
Yes, that's... yes.
Yes.
Yes and yes and lots of and, other stuff.
And,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. And not to mention serious disruption of oil shipments through the Persian Gulf, and not just Iranian.
The Iranians would have literally nothing to lose by shutting down the Straits of Hormuz. And nothing. Something like 40% of the world's oil comes out through the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah, we'd be feeling the hurt within very months. Quickly. The U.S. economy mm-hmm. would really be suffering. Cosmo Retro Gaming. I find it crazy we have so many people in the government that don't care about people We elected them to represent us. No shit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Got that right.
Logger Jogger, John, any recent Lincoln artifact finds? I love your story about the fake Lincoln Deuce. Ted, do you collect anything weird?
I do. Robbie, do you mind coming on for literally 30 seconds while I go grab my latest Lincoln find? Yep. Thank you. I'll be right back.
All right. We'll wait for John to do that. I'll go ahead and answer that question myself. So anything weird? I do collect. Well, I don't know. It's not really weird. I mean, I'm a big collector, though. Probably the weirdest thing I collect is World War II propaganda. I love posters, pamphlets, you know, any kind of, it doesn't matter, fascist, anti-fascist, doesn't matter. I'm very partial to posters about weird moments in history. For example, when the Nazis were withdrawing from occupied France, their last poster that they put on the wall basically told the population, we will be back and German law continues to apply while we're gone. And so when we come back, we're going to check on all you frogs and make sure you all obeyed German law while we were gone.
So here it is. This is the New York Herald from the day after Lincoln's assassination. It's the extra read all about it. Death of the president.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
And by the way, that writing, believe it or not, by today's standards, that extra is minute. But yes, by that standard, it was huge because all the type was minute back then.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
That is very cool.
Yep. Yeah. Probably.
How much did that put you out?
$650.
Okay. All right. I'm taking Robbie out here, unless you have something to say about your favorite president.
Probably the coolest thing that I have is my grandfather's Confederate saber.
That's cool. Those are very collectible.
Yep. And because he never surrendered. Oh, and so after Appomattox, he just left. And so that's the whole reason why we still have it. Long story short, his family was outside of Atlanta when Sherman went through it, and the Bluebellies hung his wife and his kids. So he just kept killing like another 2 years after the war ended, just out of revenge.
That was actually quite common in places like Missouri and Kansas. The war was over a year, 2 years, and there were still raiders out there just killing people.
Yep. And he moved down to Mobile, got remarried. And so that's what it is. You got the sword. Monday, my son will inherit it.
I'm obsessed with 45s. Love them.
That is awesome.
And so I especially, you know, like the pictures. This is the weird housewife band called Lilliput, who are
great graphics.
Yeah, great. This is right. Totally.
Question
awesome.
For you, Ted, because you collect old those propaganda posters. Did you ever see the one from after Pearl Harbor that had a picture of General Lee saying, "I fought for Virginia, now it's your turn." And it was a recruitment poster for the Navy.
No, I didn't. I've not seen that. That's great, though.
That's cool. We've got some cool stuff here.
I love. I'm very partial to striking graphics, especially when it's like 2-3 color process. It's like the limitations of art are what make great art. All right. Thanks, Robbie. I got rid of the wrong person here. There we go. Okay. John, who Maria J. Stephan heard that she was behind a lot of color revolutions in Latin America. Seen her on Colbert. Also glad you didn't take one for the team. Great interview. And thanks for the $2. Let's see. Okay. Did we know that the majority of Somalis in Minnesota came to the U.S. legally with the help of Protestant and Catholic charities in the 90s because of the civil war there? Yeah.
Yes.
That's not in dispute.
No.
John, what is the NRO's main job? Ray wants to know. Heard that they're above all other intelligence agencies. Wondered if you could explain their role in the intelligence community.
No, NRO is joined very closely with CIA. It's a DOD entity, but it's joined very closely with CIA. It's the National Reconnaissance Office, and they're the ones that manage the satellites that CIA and DIA analysts use in their order of battle. Analysis, just watching military movements from around the world. It's a very important job. Used to be called the Office of Imagery Analysis back in the day.
I like that name better.
Yeah.
PNM, thanks for the $5 Canadian. Do you think Alberta would be annexed by the U.S. for our oil if we separate from Canada?
No, I don't. Because it's shale oil, just like the shale oil that we have in the eastern United States. It's hard to get to. It's only cost effective if oil is over $65 a barrel, and it would be an act of war.
Assuming that we survive, thanks for the $5. Assuming we survive to 2028, what likely candidates would you or would not vote for? What policies should they run on? Will anyone reject AIPAC money?
I was having this very conversation last night with a MAGA Republican buddy of mine. And he said the funniest thing. He said that the only candidate that he likes so far, and he doesn't even like him very much, is Ro Khanna. And I said, Ro Khanna?
That's hilarious.
I said, he's the most genuinely left-wing person being
he's the squattiest of the squad.
Yeah, exactly. He's the squattiest of the squad. And he said, yeah, but I like his foreign policy except on Israel. And I said, you know, I've come to an early conclusion that only the Green and the Libertarian, even though they haven't been chosen yet, but only the Green and the Libertarian are going to be acceptable to me in the end.
Yeah, no, for sure. Me too. I mean, I can't imagine any Democrat, who is capable of even getting on the debate stage, much less in the nomination, is going to, I mean, the DNC is completely irredeemable.
Yeah.
I think the Republican nominee is almost certainly going to be J.D. Vance.
Yeah, I think so. Although, we shouldn't rule out Marco Rubio.
Agreed. Yeah, but J.D. would really have to fuck up. I mean, but I think it's a long, the conversation he's having with Usha is, you know, honey, it's a long, it's going to be a long 2 years between now and the beginning of the primaries, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, anything can and will happen.
This and I think Ted Cruz's mom told him he should run again because he's making those noises. And I say mom because she's like the only person who would actually vote for him.
Isn't he supposed to be out like killing Kennedys? Isn't that his job?
Yeah, I think that's his family legacy. Yeah, killing JFK, right?
Kevin Cronin, does anyone believe after a full year in absolute power that the Trump administration and the Republicans are helping working men and women? No. Does General Mahmoud, was he involved in the cover-up over Daniel Pearl? Mahmoud.
Boy, that's a tough one. It's possible. Watch, I'm going to get a dozen Pakistani death threats again. The Pakistani government just by its very nature is corrupt. And sure, it's possible.
To put a light touch on. Yeah, for sure. DJ 928, John, random question. Are so-called crime syndicates a problem or more hyped up than they are?
Yeah, they're not really a problem. You know, you've got this Irish syndicate that's based in Dubai, and you've got the Five Families in New York, and you've got the remnants of what used to be the Cray brothers in the UK. And, you know, if that's your thing, if you're an MI5 guy or an FBI agent or, you know, Irish anti-money laundering squad. Yeah, that's a living for you, but I don't think they're that big of a deal in the greater scheme of things.
Arya Hagaran, good question. What do we think the people's role in Iran will be if regime change happens? A lot of Iranians want regime change because of years of religious oppression and socioeconomic reasons. That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be bloody.
Yeah. It's going to be bloody either way.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I talked about the strong possibility of civil
war. Yeah. You know, I read an article yesterday, Ted, saying that the Iranian government says there were 3,117 people killed, but some independent viewers put the number far higher. One says it was 3,500. It's like, come on, relax.
Yeah.
It's not that much higher.
Why exaggerate? It's not like, I mean, one's too many, right?
Yeah,
one's too
many, exactly. One's too many.
Another viewer asking how you can get a signed book from you, John.
Oh, You know, I don't have the first one. They're out of print and they're gone. And I regret that I don't have them. But the go to rarebirdlit.com for the autograph cemetery book, and then I'm awaiting shipment of 2,000 copies of my second book, Doing Time Like a Spy. I can send that to you directly. But yeah, drop me an email.
John, this is a question that I have interest in. If you get your pension back, will you continue to do what you do, or will you just retire?
Oh, no, I don't think I will ever retire unless I'm too sick to work. But God forbid that happens. But no, this is my life. I enjoy it. I would work for free, just for fun, because I enjoy it. By
the way, speaking of that, Jermall Thomas, a friend of the show, former colleague, he is doing – I've been talking to him. He's doing better. He's expecting to be back on the air soon.
So, great.
Just something to people who are curious.
What was wrong with Jermall?
Oh, Jermall had a stroke.
What?
It was a mini stroke, but yeah, he basically lost partial vision in a lot of his vision in one eye, in his left eye. And he had to rush back from, you know, whatever godforsaken former Soviet bloc country he was in. Yeah.
Teddy, he's 20 years younger than we are.
I know. Yeah. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I don't think anyone ever knows. It's just a reminder of the fragility of life. But it is a mini stroke, and you know, he is young, and he's a strapping guy. He's in good shape. So I think he'll bounce back, you know.
And poor Lee Stranahan is it's not good.
No, it's not good. Sorry. Okay. Let's get it straight, bro. Priest of Hiroshima says Minnesota was promised to the Somalis 3,000 years ago. We are number 12 on Rumble. Robbie wants us to know.
So hey, great.
But we want to be number one. Kiara, the question is a dangerous game for the U.S. and the current regime is a threat to the Israelis. So with the perspective of power shifting from MAGA to neocons in Washington. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is, I'm sorry. I
agreed.
Yeah, okay. Desert Fox, what do we think of, I love this question. What do I think of geoengineering and cloud seeding? The Iranian president mentioned this at the UN. And that is, full disclosure, something that John and I are thinking of writing a book that would be, the plot would be about that in many ways. I think it's terrifying. I understand, as a former engineering major, the urge to have a sort of a quick solution to climate change. But the danger of overshooting or unintended consequences in a complicated ecosystem on a planet that we haven't fully explored we could really have a catastrophic, situation where you could end up with a mass extinction event caused while trying to avoid a mass extinction event. So I guess the thing is, I don't think our scientists are smart enough to do this. And I don't think our politicians are smart enough to let our smartest scientists do this the right way. I think there's too many cooks in the kitchen. I mean, you know, I would want, if we were ever going to do this though, I would say you need like a consortium of the best scientists from around the world so that we're all in it together and we're figuring it out and it can't be political. How are we going to do that?
Yeah. Good question.
I mean, I don't know. We probably just should not have polluted so much. You know,
exactly.
How about that? John, caught your podcast with Diary of a CEO, laughed hard.
Oh, thank you.
You take one for the team with the ugliest woman with her hairy mole and your boss saying you had to fuck her. I wish I'd heard this.
Thank God that I didn't. I foolishly was willing to when I thought it was part of the job.
friend used to say that everyone's just five margaritas away from fucking anyone.
Yeah. I was not exaggerating when I said she was the ugliest woman I had ever seen in my life. Where I had to avert my eyes when looking at her. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. Well, so yeah. I had this just reminds me, apropos of nothing. I had a friend in college. He and I would, you know, we were each other's wingmen. We'd go out like scamming for girls at like, you know, college dances and local bars. And I rapidly learned that his fetish was that he only liked ugly women. So normally the argument was always like, you know, there's one girl is cuter than the other. So you'd be like, can I have her? Like, no, you get her, whatever. But with him, it was the opposite. He'd be like, ah, look at her. She's disgusting. I can't wait to lick her from head to toe.
What?
I'd be like, what? And it was just like, I mean, best wingman ever, you know, no. And then he'd be like the next day, I'd be like, so what happened with, you know, the beefy one? And he'd be like, ah, oh, she was great. She smelled terrible. She was even more horrible naked. It was a fetish. I've never heard anyone talk about this fetish, but
no,
at least one person has it.
Wow.
People,
wow.
Human beings are weird as shit.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mentioned John once says for Asmataz, Dane Wigington is the person to have regarding that. Geoengineeringwatch.com or something like that.
Solar, I remember that. I went to the website. Yeah.
Aluminum in the air, dementia rates up. Yeah. I mean, there's also some conspiracy theories, which I do not believe.
I don't either.
Say that it's already started.
No. I don't believe in chemtrails and all that silliness. No.
No, that there's no, well, there's just no evidence to support that.
No, it's water vapor.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Let's talk about the voter the Bonaire thing, climate change. So Bonaire is a tiny little island.
Netherlands scuba divers Antilles. Love
it. It's in the southwestern Caribbean. Uh-huh. It's a Dutch colony. The Bonaireans and Greenpeace went to court. Dutch court ruled in their favor that Holland has not been doing a good job protecting them from the effect of climate change. The Dutch, of all people, should know the problems with rising sea levels, considering they have so much reclaimed land. Bonaire was destroyed by a hurricane a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That was probably, you know, part, at least in part, climate change. We're going to see more and more of this kind of thing. I think it's kind of great, but it's, of course, too late. But, I mean.
Well, I don't understand how the court could expect the Netherlands to be able to save Bonaire.
Well, because it's their responsibility. They own it.
Yeah, but what can they do to reverse
climate change mitigation, right? Like they could build levees, they could seawalls, that kind of thing.
Okay.
This we should talk about Fulton County.
We should.
We have a minute. Trump is after voting records. He's after Minnesota's voting records. Now the FBI has stolen Americans' voter records from Georgia. What's going on? What's the administration trying to do?
You know, the coverage of this was mocking in tone. I honestly don't know what he's trying to do. I mean, 2020 has come and gone. Joe Biden's not the president anymore. These allegations have been debunked. Move on. I mean, even if there was a crime, which nobody thinks there was, the statute of limitations would be over unless it's charged as a conspiracy. But even then, it's such an incredible stretch that even by the time you get to court, Donald Trump wouldn't be president anymore. Just move on.
But do you think this is an attempt to flip elections coming this fall?
It's possible, sure.
And I don't know how it works. I mean, if anyone has any insight, please chime in.
Yeah, let us know. I'd be interested.
Yeah, because I have to admit, I'm kind of – the mind reels, although it might occur to me in the shower tonight or something.
Right.
Anyway, thanks, John, for joining. Thanks, everyone, for liking, following, and sharing the show. Please stay tuned. TMI Show with me and Mila Chan coming right up. No DMZ America podcast. Not my fault. Scott is on the road today. We will be doing DMZ, probably over the weekend, rescheduling Mr. Fish. Kind of a bummer.
Shoot. He's terrific.
He is great, but we'll get him back. If not, we'll do it next week. I have an email out to him. Anyway, thanks, John.
Thanks, Ted.
See you later. See you
tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your podcasts today. Bye.